Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. ManaPro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. Today is Tuesday, March 1st, Rabbit, 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 and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, and get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other backyard poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guest when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button at our homepage there at Blog Talk Radio. Again, sometimes the chat room automatically opens up just below our main page, so scroll down, take a look, take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in, set a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, talk about our passion and hobby of backyard poultry, show poultry, sustainable living, urban farming, urban gardening, anything else that might tickle your fancy. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. This will get you one reminder about an hour before the show starts each day, just as a reminder that we'll be going live shortly to make plans to tune in. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro. ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
Designed for starting and growing game birds, turkeys, ducks, geese, and broilers, ManaPro's Game Bird Showbird Crumbles feature 24% protein and a combination of vitamins, minerals, and yeast culture. This complete feed does it all, from growth and weight gain to healthy development and even improved digestion. So next time you're starting some new birds, try ManaPro's Game Bird Showbird formula and see the difference.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, hens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Or maybe Andy, or maybe Pat. Who knows who it might be. All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We do have a great show lined up for you again today. But first, before we continue, it is now time to introduce my wonderful co-host, poultry advocate and author, all-around talented young lady, Pat Foreman. Hey, Pat.
Oh, hey, Whisper. I appreciate that young adjective that you added to that. Thank you. I'm trying to feel younger every day. How are you doing today?
I am doing wonderful. I early start this morning and got a lot done. March 1st means bills, so I had to get up and get a bunch of bills taken care of and ran a few errands, got back here in time to prepare for the show, and I'm looking forward to a good and wonderful afternoon. Thanks for asking.
Bills.
How about yourself?
You don't have your bills on auto pay, you know, so that's just automatically done. You don't have to worry about it. No sweat, no strife.
I do not. You know, being OCD, I got to dot those I's, cross those T's.
Oh, dear. Yeah, I must admit, I do love the auto pay, but you got to make sure that money is there for it to start with. Guess what happens today here at my little place? You probably won't be able to guess, but you're
psychic
enough.
This is always fun. Long-time listeners know we have fun with this. So let me see. What's going to happen at your place today? Okay, hang on.
Something arrives today.
Yeah. Let me think. You are getting... let me do a choice A and a choice B here. Let me see how fun that could be. Okay. A... you're getting a new shipment of maple trees to plant so you can have maple syrup. Or you're getting some bees delivered. That's my two guesses for today. How wrong am I?
you're remarkably close on one, because I have been thinking about planting more sugar maples. Mm-hmm. I've got a few planted, but with this maple syrup quest that we've gone on this spring, I was thinking, but it's neither of those. And I've already got bees, thanks to Garrett Moore, is a professional beekeeper and has 10 hives in my backyard. How cool is that?
That is awesome.
Yeah, I feel so lucky. I'm so grateful to him. I tell him every time he comes, thank you, Garrett. Thank you. Yeah. No, what comes today, it's been in birthing for quite a long time. It's the third, the Homestead edition of Chicken Tractor. It's the third homestead, which is the homestead edition of Chicken
Tracker.
And this is, it's got three chickens on the cover to commemorate the third edition. Those little chickens in the plow being pulled by that. But it looks really good, and because of the Back to the Lander and so many people wanting to know more than, you know, City Chicks talks about micro flocks, and but it doesn't go into anything about really processing chickens or raising them for meat for yourself and for others, as well as doing small scale backyard production for yourself as well as others.
Right.
Backyard market gardening. Yeah. So this goes into that, and it's quite a revised version from the second edition. So we're thrilled with that. Has a foreword by Gene Logsdon, one of my favorite writers, and just one of the, I think, the real mentors of us all. Gene's just a wonderful guy. So that's coming out. It'll start shipping out next week, and finally. It's like writing a whole new book, doing another edition. At least this one seemed to be. So that's the top of my day, and then I'm getting ready to do that presentation tonight over in Lovingston, Virginia, for the extension office on Chickens and You. So I'll be headed out probably early enough so I can stop by the feed store up at Countryside, pick up some organic feed while I'm headed over that way. So that's kind of my day. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
You're going to be. I know you got your bills, and you've got all kinds of. You always got more irons in the fire than you seem to shake a stick at.
Donations will be accepted. Put attention, Chicken Whisperer, care of Monthly Bills, P.O. Box 26.
Yeah, really.
No, kidding. We're getting geared up. We have an event this Saturday, March the 5th. Jen and I will be up at the Mountain Valley Country Store in Hayesville, North Carolina. And what we're going to be doing there is we'll be broadcasting live on location from 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. We'll be having a lot of fun on-site. Radio shows are always fun. So, when we take the radio show on the road, we go all over the country and we have a great time with it. But this Saturday the 5th, Mountain Valley Country Store is welcoming us, Hayesville, North Carolina. 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock a.m. broadcasting live. Hope you can tune in. And then from about 11:30 to 1:30, Jen and I will provide an hour and a half, two-hour poultry workshop that touches on a little bit of everything about incubation, brooding, predators, coops, the whole nine yards. And we'll be teaching the folks who want to participate in that all about keeping backyard poultry and small flock poultry. So we hope if you're within driving distance, you can come out and say hello this Saturday the 5th. So we've got that going on. And right now, as I look, there may be one or two more events in March, but as we're getting closer to our move and closer to the baby, we're kind of picking and choosing a little more carefully about events as well. We're doing that. In fact, I'm looking on my calendar now. It looks like on the 11th, Friday the 11th at 7 p.m., we have a I never thought that I'd have this on my calendar. We have a water birth class.
My gosh. Is she going to water birth?
Yes, we are.
Oh, that would be so awesome.
Yep. And you'll be able to watch it live here on Backyard Poultry.
Oh,
with
God.
Chicken Whisperer. Oh, man, just kidding, folks.
Oh,
but yes, we
you
really
can put it on YouTube.
Part of us wanted to do home birth. Again, y'all know that I really do my best. I strive. I've got the little person with horns on one shoulder that keeps me in check about practicing really what I preach. I really do. So we wanted to do home birth. We really wanted to, but first child, we're not quite that comfortable, but yes, we are going to do water birth, and we're excited about that. So very, very interesting, and we've got a class on that coming up, and then of course the hospital tour is right down the road. But yeah, we are going to do the water birth. She's sold on that, and Pat, you'll probably like this. We're probably going to sign up for. She's already read one complete book on hypnobirthing, so. I think her plan right now is to try to go all natural and no drugs, no none of that. And it's a little pricey to try to take some of these classes. We're going to try to do hypnobirthing. So she's going to try to do that using her. I haven't read the book, so I don't know, inner spirit or inner control or mind control, mind over body for hypnobirthing. So she's going to try to do that. And we're looking now, shopping around for a doula as well to come in and kind of be her coach for that. And the doula really helps. helps the mom so I can maintain with the baby. I think most hospitals now actually keep the baby in the room with the parents, so there's none of this, you know, they still tag them, put the wristband on, you know, all that mix up that they've done, chips and all that kind of stuff that they have on the bands, but just to, you know, follow the baby, make sure they don't do what you don't want them to do, and things like that. So we'll see what happens, and we'll just share that with everybody.
Well, kind of our plan. I'll send you a snorkel thing so you can be underwater. A little snorkel setup, but I'll get that in the mail tomorrow.
We'll see how that.
And the poultry in the chat room whisper. It says my daughter. Oh no! I did the water birth, and 10 minutes into it, she was begging for drugs. That's from Byers Poultry Farm. Can't you do drugs and do water birthing both? I mean, why
don't
not?
Know. I have no idea. I guess that's why we're going to take class on the 11th to see what it's all about and see what choices are and the whole nine yards and the water birth class, the hypno birth, and all that, what the doula does. I mean, all these things that I thought would never come out of my mouth are now just all over my calendar all of a sudden. So, but we'll share with you along the way.
Jen's
and
very good for you.
Yeah, she is, isn't she? Absolutely. Yeah. So that's just happened. You asked me what was on my calendar, and that's something that popped up on the calendar. So we'll see what happens. Who knows? So
well, one last thing you haven't done is water birthing.
There you go.
In your
absolutely
life experience.
Exactly. All righty. Let's see here. I wonder if that means I have to go to Target and pick out some new swim trunks.
You wear swim trunks when you water birth?
Well, I don't know. Maybe the father does. I don't know. I mean, maybe I need.
Who knows? I don't know. It's all natural. I mean, who knows what these things? You have to let us know in the class.
Yeah, we'll let you know how that happens. Yeah. Hey, I do have a special announcement, and which as we kind of get into our chickens in the news, we'll get to the official chickens in the news here in a moment. I've got a few things to share, and Pat, you may as well. But today is kind of the day many of you have been waiting for the last, I would think, 3 months. We have been taking nominations for our Chicken Coops for Schools contest. And so I'll just explain that the entries all ended on yesterday. So here it is, March 1st. Last night at midnight, all entries were stopped. And we got many from all across the country. And it's a really great contest that we've been putting on, I guess, about the last 3 months. Chicken Coops for Schools contest. And some great, great prizes. The winning school will win a brand new chicken coop from mypetchicken.com. They'll win a brand new Genesis incubator from GQF Manufacturing, and you can visit them at gqfmfg.com. And then they'll get a copy of City Chicks from Pat Foreman, of course, yours truly here on the radio show. And so great prize package, and it's now time to announce the finalists. There's, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 finalists here. And so we've got that. And let me confirm that with what I have on another official page. So just give me 1 second here. But I think it'll be a great prize package for a school located, across the country. And kind of give you what the rules were is to nominate a school. You could nominate a school of your choice. Had to be public or private. Just 1 second. Oh, man, hang on a minute. I'm trying to pull the official results up and compare it with what I've got written down here. Here we go. Let's see here. Okay, so the official rules, you could nominate a public or private school, and you had to, when you nominated, you had to nominate a local public or private school that already had to show a demonstration of kind of going green, if you will. You had to give us the school's information, address, phone number, principal's name. You had to give us your information, and then you had to write a little paragraph about why you thought they deserved this prize, this grand prize. And It was basically you had to show that the school is already demonstrating, for example, a recycling program, a healthy lunch program. They already hatch chicks, but they don't have a coop. Or maybe they need an updated incubator. They already have raised beds. They're already harvesting. They're already putting on, farmers markets at their school, different things like that. So we've got it narrowed down. We had, again, schools from all over the country. And let's see, one, two, three. Maybe five. One, two, three, four. Yeah, five schools were our finalists here. And what we're going to do is on March the 18th, Friday, March 18th, we will be announcing the grand prize winner. What's going to happen is we have a panel of judges, if you will, and they will be choosing from these entries. We will contact these schools, let them know they are a finalist, but you're hearing it first here live on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. So, our top five finalists for the Chicken Coops for Schools contest here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer are as follows. Hold on 1 second. Answer that little note here. Perfect. Alrighty, I gotta get the sound effects going here. You can't just have, you know, announce these big winners without any type of sound effects. So, the top five winners for the chicken coop for chicken for classrooms is there. We go, folks. High tech here at Backyard Poultry. Golden Valley Charter School in Orangevale, California. There's finalist number one, Golden Valley Charter School in Orangevale, California. Congratulations to them. Next, we have Claremont High School in Claremont, California. Claremont High School in Claremont, California. Finalist number two. Finalist number three, we have All Saints Episcopal School in Tyler, Texas. Congratulations, All Saints Episcopal School in Tyler, Texas. That's three so far. Hang on just a second. There we go. I had to scratch my head. It was itching. It was bothering me. let's see. Number four is the Padilla School, in Atlanta, Georgia, and that's spelled P-A-I-D-E-I-A, Padilla School. I'm probably pronouncing it horribly wrong. Padilla School in Atlanta, Georgia is number four. And then finally, we have number five, one, two, three, four, five. The last finalist for our chicken coops for classrooms is the College School in Webster Groves, Missouri. The College School in Webster Groves, Missouri. So congratulations. Again, one more time, we've got the Golden Valley Charter School, Orangevale, California, Claremont High School, Claremont, California, All Saints Episcopal School, Tyler, Texas, the Padilla School in Atlanta, Georgia, and the College School in Webster Groves, Missouri. So that's our five finalists. We will have one of those be the grand prize winners that we will announce live right here on the radio show on Friday, March the 18th. And we'll contact these schools, we'll contact the finalists, and we'll confirm, of course, everything that they can have chickens. They do want chickens, and it's legal in their area in the whole nine yards. So that's what we're going to be doing. So we'll have an announce that winner on Friday the 18th. So congratulations to all you guys. Very impressed with that. And then hopefully once we give that coop away on the and that prize package away on the 18th, we're looking at starting another chicken coop contest here on the radio show for April. And we'll start that hopefully on April Fool's Day, April the 1st, and we hope to have another chicken coop contest here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, because we have given away more chicken coops than anybody on the planet, more chicken prizes than anybody on the planet. We're very proud of that, thanks to our sponsors. All righty, it's now time to get on to our official our official Chickens in the News, Chicken in the News, which is brought to you by MeyerHatchery.com. It is pretty much just about springtime. I think the first day of spring is what, on the 20th? Spring begins. So it's now time to start thinking about your baby chicks and what you're going to get. Visit them online, MeyerHatchery.com. Alrighty, I haven't posted any of these on Facebook yet, so this is coming directly from the Newswire. Hang on just a second. Okay, just wanted to check something here. Alrighty, perfect. Salem City Council tables the chicken ordinance. This comes to us from Roanoke.com and the Roanoke Times. Salem City Council tables chicken ordinance. The panel had planned to amend a city ordinance that allows fowl in residential districts. This comes to us from Neil Harvey. One Salem chicken owner was misidentified in the printing version of this story. Jennifer Deegan's first name has been corrected in the online version. Salem's backyard chickens have gotten a reprieve of sorts from the chopping block. At its meeting Monday night, the city council moved to delay the previous scheduled revision of an ordinance that would restrict poultry from being kept in residential areas. It was a decision that pleased those who attended the meeting in support of private poultry, about two dozen of whom wore handwritten stickers that read, "I'm for chickens in Salem." Mayor Randy Foley announced the decision at the meeting at the beginning of the session, and the council approved the motion. It remains unclear when the matter will return to the agenda. The council rejected a plan to extend it for 60 days and opted instead to put no timetable on it. According to city manager Kevin Bogris, Salem may consider the matter as it makes revisions to its comprehensive plan. One of the most vocal advocates of backyard chickens, Carrie Cox, who lives two blocks from City Hall and keeps six hens in her backyard. When the birds first came under fire in 2008, she posted an online petition for her cause, which gradually grew about 200 signatures. During the past 2 days, it has pulled in about 100 more supporters, although it has been signed by some who live outside the city limits. At least three hand-drawn signs opposing chicken restrictions appeared Monday morning in yards on or near Carrollton Avenue. Jennifer Deegan of Mount Vernon Avenue said Monday afternoon that she posted one of the signs in her yard. She said that she has been keeping Barred Rock hens since 2002 with no complaints, but the issue persuaded her out to out herself as a resident chicken owner and face losing the birds. "We got them just as a science project for my two youngest boys, but we like them so well we decided to keep them," she said, "and my neighbors like them." The council had planned to amend Chapter 14 of the city code, which currently allows fowl in residential areas, but which has long conflicted with a zoning ordinance that regulates chickens to agricultural areas only. The city has received complaints regarding three people who keep chickens in various parts of Salem. I wonder how many complaints they've had about dogs. Says they've received complaints about three people who keep chickens in Salem. I would love to know how many complaints they have about dogs, loud music, loud mufflers, and annoying kids. Working off sessions in November and January, council members were unanimously resigned to disallowing fowl. But as the decision loomed closer and word of the issue spread over the weekend, the council and city staff received public feedback that prompted them to seek more time and more public input before making a decision. So we're still not really sure what's going to happen in Salem City, but we will we'll keep you posted of that situation, as we always do here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Let's see if we have a another one here for a second. We've got lots of them that are coming in with spring gets here. A lot of people are having Chick Days events at their farm and garden stores and their seed and feed stores. And here's one we've got I want to update to you because we've had this gentleman on the radio show, Milford Man 92, Archie Noon. You remember Archie, Pat?
I do remember Archie, yeah. I hope he still has his chickens.
Sure, let's give an update here. Yeah, bless his heart. He's right, 92. My goodness. Milford Man 92 vows to play chicken with local ordinance. At 92 years old, Archie Noon, let me tell you who this comes to us by. Comes to us from The Observer and The Eccentric, hometownlife.com. Archie, at 92 years old, is clucking at Village of Milton ordinance that says he can't raise chickens in his backyard and gearing up for the launch of his egg and feather selling business this spring. And he has armed himself with the Right to Farm Act to do so. "I think I'm right. I know I'm right, and the Michigan legislature knows I'm right because they enacted the Right to Farm Act, Noon says. The Right to Farm Act was established in 1981 to address land use conflicts between farmers and suburban residents. It protects farmers from nuisance lawsuits if they follow defined, generally accepted agriculture and management practices developed by Michigan Commission of Agriculture. Noon, who decided last year to raise a few hens for their fresh eggs, said he spent $3,500 on a coop for his yard on West Huron Street before learning that local ordinance lists chickens as farm animals, which are prohibited within village boundaries. Determined to go through with his hen-raising plan, he approached the village council in November and urged them to set in motion the process to have the ordinance amended. By stripping chickens of their farm animal designation, council members denied his request, citing chickens' odor, waste, and noise, as well as other residents' objections to reasons to keeping and prohibiting the current intact. Undaunted, Noon next consulted an attorney and did some research and came back to the village council on February 22nd, which should be last week. But this time, he said, the council's opinion no longer mattered. I'm past that stage of trying to get the ordinance changed, Noon said. I'm not here asking for anything. I'm here trying to bring an understanding of the Michigan Right to Farm Act, where I am with it and where I'm going with it. Prior to the meeting, Noon had provided council members with a written statement outlining his plan to quietly raise a small flock of hens for their good eggs and their feathers for various requests. Noon said free-range eggs have higher vitamin content and less fat and cholesterol compared to commercial eggs. He'll keep some of the eggs for himself and sell the rest, noting they will be free of hormones and antibiotics. Page 2. Noon added that he will follow the Michigan Commission of Agriculture guidelines to the Right to Farm Act, which addresses use of pesticides, nutrients, manure, irrigation water, animal care, farm markets, and more. Council members offered no official response to Noon. Go figure. Council President Terry Ruiz said that since Noon approached the council during the meeting's call to the public segment, there were to be no opinion given on his plan. Following the meeting, village manager Arthur Shuffleberger said he questions Noon's claim to the Right to Farm Act is enough to protect him if village officials decide to take action once he starts raising chickens. I think there are still issues, he said. And you can see this. We'll definitely be posting this on our Facebook page. You can follow us, like almost 9,000 other people, at facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. So you can take a look at that. I just also got, let me see what we got here. Pat, I've got an awesome prize today. We're going to let you go over to Chickens of the News. I'm going to get this link over to Love for Poultry. Ladies, and let me tell you right now, folks, we do cater to the ladies. Let me tell you, the chicks out there, no pun intended, the pullets, the little pullets, the hens, the chicks, whatever you want to call them. But let me tell you, so we do cater. About 78% of our listeners and our followers on Facebook and Twitter and fans are young ladies. So we do try to, of course, with our programming and other things, really try to we cater to everybody, but we do try to cater to the majority here, 78% lovely young women. And ladies, y'all are going to love today's prize. In fact, we may see a record on our switchboard today for how many people that actually want to call and try to win this prize. I'm going to try to get it on Facebook too while we when we bring our guest on, because it might get even some more people to try to call in if they couldn't listen full time of the show because they're at work. So I'm going to send this over to our friend Love for Poultry, and she's going to post this in the chat room, and then y'all can all go goo goo gaga over today's awesome prize from eggcartons.com. Our friend Scott has just outdone himself today. Once, ladies, you see this awesome, awesome prize that we're going to be giving away today. So, Pat, do you have any chickens in the news while I kind of get this going here?
Well, I have statistics in the news, which I thought was awfully interesting. Yeah, this comes to us from the USDA Poultry Slaughter Summary that was issued February 2011. And what these numbers I find are just absolutely amazing, how important poultry is to our culture. Okay, so the total number of chickens slaughtered in the U.S. dropped, according to the latest figures from the USDA. They showed that there were 8.6 billion, with a B, chickens slaughtered during the year, during 2009, and that is down from 9.07 billion in 2008. Now, you got to realize there's just about 6.8 billion people in the entire world. So just to give this as a perspective, there was more than one chicken slaughtered in the world. There was more than one chicken slaughtered for every person in the world just to feed the U.S. That's what this is saying. So that's how many we're talking about. The number of turkeys slaughtered was also down from 271 million with an M, and that dropped down to 246 million in 2009. It's interesting why turkeys would go down. I'm not sure. And then they also, the total weight of chicken meat that went on the market fell from 50 billion with a B pounds in 2008 to 48 billion pounds in 2009. So that's 2 billion difference just in the amount of chicken meat. And the drop in production was both across the chilled and the frozen sectors. Now, what's the number of chickens and turkeys that had to be condemned on the post-death inspection also fell, which is great news. So in all, of the 28 million pounds of chicken meats that was condemned before slaughter, that also fell from 168 million. So all that is to say, we're eating an awfully lot of chicken, but it seems to be down from last year. And they didn't go in to say why the statistics were down, if it had anything to do with the recalls or the egg recalls or whatever, but or the meat recalls. But that's still just a huge portion of the American diet is the number of chickens that we eat. So I just was astonished at those numbers about how big they are. I don't know why. We know there's chicken nuggets in every store, so that's all I've got, Whisper.
Okay, very good. No, thank you very much. Thank you for that. And I did see that report too that came across that less chickens were culled and across America for that. And you know what? I often get news articles about poultry imports. Now, I have no idea why in America we have to import any chicken. Because by golly, we even in the state of Georgia, Arkansas, Ohio, we produce some good chicken, and so I'm just not sure. I'm not sure why we have to import any chicken with the amount of chicken that we produce here in the United States. But that's not my expertise. So, alrighty. So, Love for Poultry has posted in the chat room a link to today's awesome prize. Today's awesome prize. Have you taken a look, Pat?
There it is, egg cartons that had no crop. That is really clucking very funny. It's a hen bag.
Yes,
every chicken owner ought to have a hen bag.
It is the hen bag chicken purse from eggcartons.com. Absolutely correct. Who doesn't love that? So I'm telling you what, I bet we break records when we get to the contest later today, and I bet the switchboard lights up like a Christmas tree, because everybody would love, especially the young ladies out there, would love a brand new, not handbag, but hen bag to go with that chicken ensemble that they have.
Oh my God! Did you see the description? It says this pleasantly plump fryer. This pleasantly plump fryer of a hen bag has molded feathers, comb, and wattles, sized to hold all your essentials and then some. It's a rubber-lined purse, so you can take out your carryouts and those leftovers for the doggy bag, and one pocket in size. Oh my! That I think this should be a must to take to every city council meeting. You know, when you just go in and have all the petitions in the hen bag.
That's funny.
It sells for $30.
Yeah, no, wow. It's a great prize.
Yeah, that's a wonderful prize.
I just got an email I had sent over. Walter says it's just what he needs to go to the store. Yeah, Walter, that'll look really good on your arm getting out of that blazer at the store. Let me tell you, I think you.
Yes,
I love it.
And it says, "Are you fearless about your love for chickens? Then you should carry this hen bag."
But you know what?
I'm not that fearless, I don't think. I'm not sure I could do it.
Tater Farm asked Walter, but it was wondering if this hen bag would actually match his shoes.
Oh dear, that would really be a sight. Well, there's an idea. There's an idea for egg cartons to come up with the matching hen shoes
feet.
To match
hen
the hen
feet,
bag.
Exactly. Ah, gives an all new meaning to crow's feet, I guess. So, right. Okay, we're going to take a commercial break because we do have a great guest lined up for you today. It is one of our most popular shows. We are going to welcome the Heritage Chef Steve Pope, today, and we are going to be talking all about eggs and brining. So again, ladies, you're going to learn all about, and men, because I do the cooking in my house, so I truly love this show, too. So while we're at commercial break, don't forget to go ahead and get that pen and paper ready. You know that Chicken Whisperer radio show notebook that you have by the computer? Go ahead and put the date on it. Heritage Chef Steve Pope and what we're talking about today. When we come back after this short break, we'll welcome Steve to the radio show. Stand by, folks. We'll be back right after this short break.
Looking for something? Find it online at Bidbird Auctions. Bidbird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made Bidbird Auctions their new home. And get sold on Bidbird. Need an incubator? Think Brensey, the incubation specialist. Brensey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensey.com. Brensey spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensey.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg candlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensey. Technology you can trust. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com. Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com. You have the chickens, the coop, and the run. But do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com. Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com. You've ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality-built chicken coops for every size flock and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. And just from my Facebook post and the announcement, we had people that actually listen to the radio show by telephone. They call in and listen via telephone, and they listen online in other rooms and whatnot. But we had people in the chat room that said, oh my gosh, I was listening in the kitchen. I had to run in and log on just to see what the day's prize was. And and I just posted it on our Facebook page. I put bawk bawk. Look at what we are giving away today on the radio show. Thank you, EdCartons.com, for providing such an awesome prize. And it is, of course, the hen bag. And of course, you may have an issue trying to match the handbag with or the hen bag with your shoes, but it is pleasantly plump with, of course, the nice red comb and wattles, and I think it'll actually, you know what, Pat, I would have loved to seen the hen bag as an accessory on the red carpet on Sunday at the Oscars.
Oh yes, yes, with the shoes, it'd have to
yes.
go with the shoes too, matching shoes.
Absolutely, maybe yeah. we could have gotten some of the movie stars that keep chickens, like Reese Witherspoon or Felicity. Huffman and some of them that have backyard poultry and brag about it when they go on the talk shows. Maybe we could have got one of them to carry this hen bag with them at the Oscars. I don't know. I know they love their chickens, but I'm not sure if they would have welcomed that kind of attention, if you know what I mean, that would have gotten. But great prize today, and we'll start that about 20 past the hour. But now, without further ado, it is time to welcome our good friend, first Tuesday of every month, the Heritage Chef, Steve Pope. Welcome, Steve. Welcome back.
Hi. Boy, have I got a lot of things today to talk about. You know, being on once a month, I get a chance to collect all kinds of bits and pieces. So that keeps me really busy with a lot of things. First of all, I'd like to mention, and for those that have not been able to get on my site, they have reconstructed my site completely. It's a whole different site now. And so please feel free to go to heritagechef.com. You'll see a whole lot of information on there. I have added the recipe that I used the last time for coq au vin. So it is in there also. Just a lot of information. One area is know what you eat and know what you're eating. And that section takes in a whole lot of stuff about the historical facts as well as current events that are happening, articles that come out about the chickens and different types of poultry. Of course, I'm working closely with Frank Reese, and he's doing so much study about the obesity genes and the different things. Mm-hmm. And he we're looking at maybe getting him on for the next show to go into a little bit more depth of mm-hmm. what's taking place. So I think that you'll find that even more interesting too. But just to touch on a couple of things today, I'd like to talk about brining, and then we'll talk a little bit about preserving eggs and a little bit of the knowledge about eggs themselves. And that's another piece of good fun, and how to actually preserve some of those eggs so that you can keep them. And I know certain parts and times of the year we get a lot more eggs than we know what to do with, and the neighbors are taking them, and you're wondering what you're going to do with a lot of those eggs. If you don't set them, you've got to do something with them. So you can actually preserve them. We'll talk a little bit about that also. One thing that I will have on the website that is really important, and I invite everybody to go to that section, it's called How Do I Know It's Heritage? And we have written, or I should say Frank Reese has written, a very good piece of work that'll be published in different areas in the future, but you'll be able to see it on my website to start with. And it really explains in good clarity what the standard breed heritage chicken is and how you can tell what you're getting and things of this nature. So I think that might be something that would really really be a lot of fun. Also going to give you a quick recipe on what to do with eggs, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. So why don't we start with brining? Yeah, and we'll see what we can give some information about that. Brining itself is centuries old. Now, Pat, do you know how brining got started?
Living by the sea, and you drop the meat in the ocean.
You're pretty close.
That's a guess, but I guess preserved food. But.
Yes, it is. What happened is they used to use a tremendous amount of salt to preserve so many different foods. I mean, they found that salt would inhibit the growth of bacteria and things of that nature. So they would pack many, many things into salt, and it would work. One of the byproducts is they found that when they would scrape the salt off or rinse it off, there had been some absorption, and the flavor of the meat was enhanced, and it seemed a little plumper for some reason, and that meant that the moisture was not taken out of it. So brining sometimes is misunderstood in its purpose. It does not necessarily tenderize. A lot of people think, oh, if I brine it, it's going to tenderize that piece of meat. It does seem like that, but the reasoning that comes out of that is maybe a small amount of the proteins are broken down to some degree, but even more so, the moisture is drawn in and the juices are drawn out, and you create a balance is what you're doing, and it seems more tender that way, and then it helps during that roasting and longer cooking time to give you a juicier bird. Now, there's a basic recipe for brining, and then there's also the recipe that you can use to create your own flavors. So here's basically the recipe that I use for brining, and it's relatively simple. I start with a gallon of cold water, and I take about a half a mixture of that or a half a gallon of water, and I bring it to boil. Then I add 1 cup of kosher salt. Now, the reason why I'm using kosher salt is you're not having the iodine in it, and that's something that you don't want in it. So about a cup of kosher salt and a half a cup of sugar.
Quick question, real quick question.
Sure.
How about sea salt?
Sea salt can be used. You said that's fine because, again, you're not dealing with the iodine that would be in there. So sea salt is quite popular right now. This recipe that I'm, of course, pulling is very, very old, and they used kosher salt at that time. But, yes, by all means.
Okay, good.
But that half a cup of sugar, whatever sugar you want, and this is important to look at, you can use brown sugar. You can use regular cane sugar. You can use syrup. And if you want, like corn syrup, but you need to get that sugar base in there to balance against the salt. Now, that is your basic, and you take that half a gallon of water, you add the salt, add your sugar and stuff, and then you boil it. You bring it to a boil, and you put it in the refrigerator, cool it down to about 40 degrees. That's getting pretty cold in the refrigerator. And then you go ahead and you add a half a gallon of very cold water again. You simply put the chicken in that, or your poultry or whatever you're using. You can use turkey also, which works very well with. But you put it in there and put it in that brine mixture. I never use an aluminum pot. I guess I'm a little scared of anything transferred with the salt and stuff. So I usually use an enamel container or porcelain, or I get a hold of one of those really good, strong plastic bags. And what they do, of course, is you can seal them and you use less of the fluid that way when you are brining and everything gets submerged. Now, the side product of that is you can add your own herbs and spices, and that makes it your own. And I know that I will, a lot of times when I'm making that boiling mixture at the beginning, I will go ahead and add maple flavoring to it, or if you want to use maple sugar, you certainly can. But I will also add different herbs and spices depending what I'm wanting to flavor that bird with to absorb into it. And that can be onions and, of course, garlic and things of that nature. You can certainly use the parsley, sage, and thyme if you want to make this a really nice, flavorful mixture. And when you brine it with that, it takes on some of the flavor. It doesn't absorb too much, but it allows you to get that flavor in there. And I usually remove all of that when I take it out of the to put it in the refrigerator to cool down before I add the other half a gallon of cold water. It turns out beautiful. You brine it for a good length of time. For a whole chicken, I usually will brine it anywhere from 4 to 8 hours, depending on what I'm doing outside in the garden. And then I will take and pull it out anywhere between that time, and I end up with a lot plumper, a plumper bird. Now, when you use white breast or breast, it takes just about an hour or two to brine those, and that works very well also. But brining is a very nice way to add flavor to your birds. Now, I will invite anyone out there to try this, since we're getting ready to start with our chick season and everything, is to start raising your birds on certain things like cayenne pepper. If you put a little cayenne pepper in, I would love to hear back from people what they experience by putting a small amount of pepper or feed your birds some pepper to see if that transfers into the meat itself. I have a friend who in Texas always feeds her turkeys cayenne pepper or pods out of the garden. And she swears that it increases the flavor of the bird. So that's not quite brining, but it's another thing that might be considered. So I will have this part of brining on my site probably by tomorrow if people want to know information about it. But like I say, the brining process is not difficult. It's easy to do. It takes a little bit of time, but it's especially good for the heritage breeds, because they are able to plump them up a little bit, give them a lot more moisture, which allows you a little bit more cooking time. And
so it's a completely different goal you're looking at for brining than marinating.
Yes, it is. Now, brining, because you're doing it, you are doing what we call an osmotic process. It's osmosis. It literally pulls the juices out of the bird. The salt does, and then the salt infuses back into the bird with some of that fluid. And it creates a balance so that it takes in as much moisture as possible. Now, if you look at the commercial birds or turkeys even, you'll see 15% added or 18%, whatever, will have a certain amount of fluid that can go into there that they can actually package the bird with. So that's one piece. Hello?
Okay.
Yeah.
We're here.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's one of the things that we look at that might make a difference as far as how we look at brining and the process of brining. A lot of people don't really realize that that's part of what the commercial people have done in the past,
mm-hmm.
and it can make a difference. So, but it is a wonderful way to add flavor. Marinating is, like you say, another side of the story. You do absorb some of the flavorings that way through marinating, but this brining process is more of an osmosis. It actually goes in deeper and balances salt.
Now, question, and you would know the answer to this, and it's just something that popped in my mind, so I think it maybe have popped in one of our listeners' minds out there. You talk about, you know, the difference between brining marinating. But now, come to mind is that we'll see on a package of chicken that says, up to 24% of a solution.
Yes.
And is that a system or a type of brining that they're
it
doing
is.
With this chicken? Okay, it is the same kind of the same
it
process.
Is. A lot of times if you go to a packing plant, you will see the people that are doing that. They have actually, it's like a bath that trolls down a canal, if you will,
mm-hmm.
and the birds are put in that long enough to absorb that fluid. And sometimes they will also inject it, and it will be injected into the bird to plump it up. And here's a piece of that which is also understandable. If I add more water to your bird, isn't that going to increase the weight?
Right, and then you pray in more per pound for that fluid versus the meat, right?
What you're buying is a bunch of salt, maybe a little bit of other flavoring, sodium, chicken flavoring, things of this nature that is in their, quote, brine. So a lot of people don't realize that nice plump bird has been plumped up for what that's worth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that can make a big difference.
Okay. Just so you know, Pat had a apparently an a semi-trailer, an 18-wheeler pulling her driveway. She's getting some books in. It might have been her new edition of her chicken tractor book, but I just wanted to let everybody know that she will be back with us shortly, but she had literally an 18-wheeler pulling her driveway full of books. So so that's where she has gone. So, yeah, let's continue on. That was great. I'm learning a lot. I know our listeners are, and I wanted to just ask some questions that pop into my mind, because if I'm thinking of them, others are too. And we want to encourage you to post your questions in our chat room. For the Heritage Chef, just put your questions in the chat room in all caps, so we'll be able to kind of pinpoint those and be able to get those on the air. So questions for the Heritage Chef, Steve Pope. All righty, let's continue.
Okay, I'm going to change phones here because I'm about to go out, Whisper, so let me see if I can do this real quick.
Sure, no problem. If you get disconnected, just call back in. We'll bring you on live again. If you're just tuning in, thank you very much. This is Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer Radio Show, broadcasting live every day, Monday through Friday at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And today we're listening to, and the first Tuesday of every month, the Heritage Chef, Steve Pope. You can visit his brand new website, brand new, just went to it, it's awesome, www.heritagechef.com. That's www.heritagechef.com. We got several topics today. We've got eggs and brining and how to store eggs for longevity. Lots of great stuff we've got. In about 20 minutes, we're going to be going to our chicken trivia contest sponsored today by eggcartons.com, and we have a hen bag to give away. All the ladies are just chomping at the bit to try to dial in to win this awesome hen bag valued at $30. All righty, Steve, did everything pan out and work okay?
Yeah, I should be back. Am I back?
All right, sounding good. Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, listen, I'm going to address something really very fast about the runway for the Academy Awards, a bit of a trivia that comes with this. I do know that at one time when Cher was winning her Academy Awards, she wore an outfit that was, the headdress was made from silver phoenix feathers. So you have the silver phoenix, which is, of course, the long Yokohama kind of bird. And so her headdress was created with some of those birds. So our birds are getting a little bit of notice on the runway there, but we'll see what happens in the future. Maybe we can talk somebody into making an entire feather dress. Pat, would you take that on and see if people can promote that?
We'll make sure that Pat gets that message out. You
okay,
may have been in
right.
the process
she's,
of which, yep, she's got an 18-wheeler full of books she's unloading.
Oh, boy. Well,
I hope she won't be too out of breath when she comes back on the air.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about eggs. You know, there was a lot of information that used to be promoted using the eggs, and a lot of people remember different things of what happens with eggs, and the promotional for the egg counselor was, you know, the incredible edible egg.
Yep.
And I think that a lot of times we don't realize how important the egg itself is in our life, how many ways that we use it, and we don't even realize how many different compositions of foods on the market are using some form of an egg. So I'm going to give a little bit of history. I don't know if I'm repeating myself from any previous information, but the original jungle fowl used to lay about only 20, maybe 25 eggs a year. But we have now got hens that will lay every day, and even as low as 250 eggs a year is very, very common.
Oh, yeah.
And it's we have actually managed to increase that. But sometimes if you try to do that too much, and again with the commercial eggs, you're doing something that is just repetitively using the bird as a factory more than anything else. So she's producing a lot of eggs that may not have the nutrients in it that it was intended to have, and of course the composition also. Now the average egg weighs about 2 ounces. That's pretty much what they look at. And as far as percentage of the content, they say that the content itself is very, very different. First of all, we know that 58% of the egg interior is the white. And with that white, there's very thick to thin, depending on what that diet is. And naturally, good chefs prefer the thick usage of good egg whites because it helps create a very nice working process. I know that when I cook and make eggs, I like to use duck eggs. when I make cakes, things of this nature, because it has such a thick white or albumin itself that really creates a nice thickener or congealment for the cake itself. But it's about 58% white. The other 30 is 31% egg yolk. Now, boy, is there a big difference between the two, and this is why and the purpose can be used so much different. We use the egg white to make meringue, all of this type of thing. One of the things I have done, which I tell people, if you want to have scrambled eggs and you can't afford all the calories that are found in there, I separate the egg and just scramble the whites. And, boy, let me tell you, you get the good feel of that of scrambled eggs, mm-hmm. things of that nature. It makes a little bit difference. But actually, the egg whites really have about 87% water itself. So, and there's not even but about less than a fifth, 1.5 of a percent of fat in it, about 10% protein. So you're not seeing a lot, contrary to the egg yolk. And the egg yolk has about 49% water and has 31% fat and then 16% protein. So you're seeing a great big difference. Now, my grandmother used to take eggs and boil them, chop them up real fine, and feed them to the baby chicks.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another piece of work that can be done, and it's just a little piece of history. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I discovered about the eggs is it's what I call portability for health. It is can be very healthy, and I have mentioned, I think, before on the show about how Grandpa used to have two eggs a day, and he never came down with cholesterol problems, and he never came down with heart issues over having a couple of eggs. And the idea medically is starting to change about that the eggs are not as damaging as they may have thought before. So it's just sort of an interesting way of looking at how we learn more about medical processes. But give me a farmyard egg over a commercial egg any day.
Any day.
two different worlds there, and especially when you're looking at the healthy part of it too. So one of the things that they used to do is find ways to use eggs throughout the year, especially when there was a low laying season. And I've come across some historical information out of one of the historical books, and I've done this, and it works exceptionally well. This comes out of a 1940s information book. As everyone knows, I get into the heritage stuff, and that's what I like. So let's look at that. You know, first of all, if you take an egg and separate it, mm-hmm. and you've got the yolks and you have the whites, you can actually prepare them for a freezing process. But there's some catches to that. And it really works really very well. Just simply freezing the egg itself is not going to work. It you end up with this broken down egg yolk or white that does not have what it needs in it to work. They end up gummy, that type of thing. So what you do is you take a certain amount of salt or corn syrup and honey, depending on the kind of egg you are going to use it for, I mean the recipe. Let's say that if you're going to bake a cake, you would probably take and use this egg white or egg yolk and use a little bit of syrup or honey in your mixture. and I'll give you that ratio in a few seconds. But if you're going to use it for frying, if you're going to use it for general cooking like that, you would want to put it with some salt. So what you do is you separate the eggs, like I say, if they shell, and put them in a little separator. And then all you have to do is place them in a deep bowl. Now, it's difficult to keep them in the yolks intact, so plan on just sort of breaking it up and mixing it around. So if you want, you can use a little egg beater or something of that nature. Now, I take the egg yolks, and if I'm going to use salt, I use 1 teaspoon of salt for every 2 cups of yolk. That means that, you know, if I pull out 2 cups of egg yolk and I take 1 teaspoon of salt. And then what I do is I'll put those in a different container. Now, if I'm going to use it for a sweet mixture, because I know I'm going to be doing some baking or making pancakes, things of this nature, I will go ahead and use, if I use corn syrup, which is quite common, is I use a tablespoon to every 2 cups of yolk again. And then if I use honey, and you can use honey in the same process for those that want to really, really do it right, use a tablespoon of honey for every 2 cups of yolk again. Now, you just make sure that you separate those into small containers. What I have done in the past is I have used I have used ice cube making things, the ice cube holders.
Yeah.
And you can actually pour them in there when they freeze, then put them in a plastic bag. Or you can separate the amount that you think you're going to use, and I use maybe, I put in a setup of 1 cup of yolks in a process, and I put them in a separate bag so that I have them separated, knowing that I'm going to take out about 3 egg yolks. And I do the same thing when I separate them with the whites also. And in the whites, it's just basically the same thing. You're using your mixture. And once you do that, now I will tell you this, the whites themselves really don't need any treatment, meaning that it's separating the yolk from the white. So the white you can just freeze. Now one of the things that I have done is if you decide to use a container of some nature, other than the little ice cube, what I do is I put them, let's say, in a small half-pint jar and to put in the refrigerator. I will put over maybe just a little bit of water over the top, just barely pour it over, because what happens is that freezes and it keeps everything intact without being affected by any of the other freezing processes. There's no dehydration. The freezer can't draw that moisture out because that water on top level. It's kind of like what Grandma used to do when she made her plum jelly. She'd put a wax covering over the top of the jelly so that it would stay nice and not have any loss of or dehydration itself. But you can actually freeze those. Make sure that you use fresh eggs when you do this, and it's, again, important that the eggs are not old.
Speaking of questions, we had one from Brits and Grits in the chat room. Her egg whites lately, and she's got fresh farm eggs, her egg whites lately have been very thick. It was even hard to separate from the yolk for baking. Is it because the hens weren't drinking enough water? She says she was making a sponge cake, and she needed the whites to be real light and fluffy, and it ended up being a real problem. Do you have any suggestions?
Well, first of all, you have to be real careful, like anything else, of what you're feeding them. It would be interesting, and she certainly can contact me through the website about, and I'll be glad to talk with her a little bit further. One of the things that you have to look at is that diet will make a difference, and being very careful of what you're feeding them can make a big difference of what happens as far as the density and thickness. What we're really looking at with this egg white is it is a cushion for the actual development of the egg itself into a chick. And so when that gets too thick, it can be just as bad as too thin. So it works the same way if you're doing a very light cake. Now, I will tell you this. You can take the egg whites before you mix them into your cake mix. Basically, what you would do, you would go ahead and beat them up so they're a little bit frothy, and that can help also, and also work with a little bit of water, a small amount, a tablespoon or a teaspoon, up to a tablespoon of water into those egg whites, then whip them up a little bit, then put them into your cake mixture. I promise you, you'll end up with a lighter cake, and it'll have a great flavor that way also. Hopefully that will help a little bit.
Great. Thank you.
You bet. Well, again, like I say, the idea about freezing eggs and keeping them and using them, this is a very easy way. You're not putting in anything into the eggs that could be detrimental or to anyone's health. You're extending the usage of those eggs, and they won't go to waste. And I think that's probably one of the best things that you could do. So that's my thing on the eggs themselves. Last thing I want to do is give a quick recipe that I discovered with eggs. And it's so easy, and it's super, and people have loved it. I serve it with different dishes, and it's just I don't even know what to name it. I can call it the panko egg or something of that nature. So would you like to have that recipe?
Absolutely.
Okay. Simple. You take the crumbled or panko breadcrumbs. Now, they come in different forms, but I say panko because it's well known. But it's really granulated breadcrumbs. You certainly could take day-old bread and toast it and granulate it also. And you take about, oh, we will say a cup and a half of granulated crumbs. Then you take your egg whites, and you take enough to create a fluid consistency, not till it's runny, but just kind of thick, not too thick, somewhere in between, just a little bit, not as thick as bread dough, but certainly not like a gravy. And when you mix it up, you mix those two things together with whatever spice you want to use. Now, you can use poultry spice if you want. You can use a simple garlic pepper, salt and pepper spice. You pick the spice to play with, and you put about a half a teaspoon to a teaspoon, depending on the spice. And this is where you have to figure out what you like or not. You simply mix all that together. You put it in a plastic bag, cut the tip of one corner of that bag, and on a flat surface that is plastic or something that you can put into the microwave, you put little dollops, squeeze little dollops about the size of a silver dollar onto that. You put it in the microwave, and you cook it for about a minute to a minute and a half, depending on your microwave. And this is where you have to test. You take it out, and they're like little biscuits. Fast, easy. They've risen. They have some volume to them. Put them as part of a side dish with your chicken dinner. And people will use them as little gravy dippers and pick-me-up stuff instead of the fork. And it's just a wonderful, quick way to add to the dinner, and it's easy to do. You don't have to bake a whole lot, and it takes a few seconds. And that is one way to use egg whites in your best way.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's great. I love it. It works very easily.
Let me ask you this. While you were talking all about that, something echoed in my brain, and because I've heard this before, I've tried it, I heard to make your omelets fluffier, a little sidetrack here, but, you know, I fix eggs. I wouldn't say quite a bit, but Jen likes an egg sandwich in the morning to take to school. I get the egg. I put it in a little bowl. I've got added a little bit of milk. I get my little fork, you know, scramble it up, whatever, you know. But I've also heard that to make a omelet fluffier, to use water instead of milk when you mix and stir all that egg before you pour it in the pan. Is there any truth to that, or is that just...
There is some truth, and it's related, again, to the salt that you put into it.
Okay.
When salt interacts, there is, again, a process that takes place that milk does not have. Milk has thickening proteins to it. Are you there?
Yes, yes.
Okay, I keep feeling like, I'm sorry, I apologize, I keep feeling like I'm going out with this phone that I have today.
We do hear an occasional click, almost like someone's calling in or call waiting click every now and then, but you're coming in loud and clear.
Okay, I apologize for that, though.
No problem.
The idea is that milk has proteins, fats, carbohydrates, all of these things exist in the milk, and when you put that with the eggs, there's a tendency to actually have it weight down, because those proteins, fats, all of that are interacting with the heat. So that could cause the egg to not have as much volume to it when you're trying to create something fluffy. And so that, and of course, your heat, if you make your heat too high, it's not going to work as well also. So the idea behind that is, yes, water, and try it, see what you come up with, and you'll be surprised that it does create a little bit more fluffiness. It really does.
Interesting. Okay, I will definitely try that.
Yeah. Okay. That's about what I have today. And going through all these different things in such a fast pace, but I've always enjoyed coming on the show.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the show, and I'm not sure, I haven't got any updates that Pat has back joining us, so she's still out there hauling tons and tons of new books out of an 18-wheeler. So I know she's hating that, but she says timing is everything. So
you bet.
But Steve, thank you very much for coming on. As always, the first Tuesday of every month, tons and tons of wonderful information. And you can visit him online at www.heritagechef.com. That's heritagechef.com. Steve, thank you very much for joining us today. We'll see you in about 30 days or so.
All right, I'll talk with you then.
Yeah. Hey Steve. Steve, thank you so much. I have been listening. I wasn't able to take notes in my notebook, but I've been listening as I've been cases and cases of books here. So sorry I couldn't join in.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah, but as always, it's really, really wonderful. And, of course, the chemistry and the science behind eggs, I think nature's one of the most amazing foods.
Oh,
and we're so
no
lucky to be
it.
Able to have them.
That itself is a 2-hour lecture if you really get into the depth. But with my personality, I love getting to the nitty gritty of things, and the research that I've done on eggs alone is just really fascinating. So.
Yeah, we'll have to have a discussion on that sometime, Steve, because I've done the same thing. And, of course, as a pharmacist, I love the chemistry behind the science of cooking as well. So, that's another show. Super, Steve, thank you so much. And, again, I apologize. I didn't expect the timing of this. But things happen when they happen.
That's right.
Sort of like birthing whisper. You know, you can't really plan for it. It just happens.
Yeah, tell the modern-day doctors that. They seem to be scheduling C-sections and births based around their golf game, it seems like. I've heard some stories. So you say that, Pat, but this modern day and age, they
right.
are now scheduling C-sections and deliveries with all the drugs they got. And, oh, I've got a golf game. I got to go get this delivery done.
As an RN,
keep the water warm.
Yeah. as an RN, I could certainly vouch for that. And I worked in labor and delivery for 3 years while I was in the military. And that's a subject I could almost preach about. I mean, what we're doing to people. What we are doing to people is amazing. And then you hit the nail right on the head, Whisper, when you said scheduling deliveries. Whatever happened to nature? But I'll leave that alone for another time.
Thank you very much for backing me up.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, and Whisper, I got to get back to the books. I just was hearing that. I'm going to keep listening in, so I might chime in, but there might be some background sound here. So.
Hey, that is not okay. No problem at all.
I'm going to mute myself out.
Okay, thanks, Pat. All righty, folks. Today being the first Tuesday of the month, that was the Heritage Chef Steve Pope. Thank you very much for coming on. Had a great time. Hope you took lots of notes and learned lots from him. You can tune in the first Tuesday of every month and hear what Steve Pope, the Heritage Chef, has to say. We're going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we've got an awesome trivia prize today. Lots of people want to win it. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this short break.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. If you're in the market for a new incubator, then look no further than GQF. They have a great selection of tabletop and cabinet-style incubators at prices you can afford. I love my GQF Genesis Model 1588. It has a large picture window and an automatic thermostat, which makes for a better hatch every time. Go pick out your new incubator at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com. Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink.
A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your HenSaver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
If you have experienced the disappointment of broken or weak eggshells, try MannaPro's Oyster Shell. Adding oyster shell to your flock's feeding program helps provide the calcium they need for strong eggshells. So don't let those beautiful eggs go to waste. Try MannaPro's Oyster Shell for your pullets and layers.
You've ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality-built chicken coops for every size flock and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com.
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce. I'll don my super suit.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Only about 5 more minutes left in the show. And so what we're going to do is we're going to have our chicken trivia contest. The number, as always, to call in if you want to take a shot at the question, 347-637-3237. 347-637-3237. One more time, 347-637-3237. You are playing for an awesome hen bag, which is actually a purse or a handbag for the young lady, and it is a chicken. We've posted the link on our Facebook page. We posted it in the chat room, so you know what you're playing for. A listener also gave me a neat website called random.org, and I can basically pick a number between 1 and a billion, I guess, and it shoots out this this random number. So we're going to go ahead and try it here and see exactly what happens and see what random number it actually is going to generate based on call volume here. So the question is for the hen bag from eggcartons.com. Often after eating, a chicken will have somewhat of a bulge in its neck. What is that? What is that? That bulge or storage area, if you will, in the neck of the chicken. Often after eating, a chicken will have a bulge in its neck, and you might think something's wrong, or it has a tumor, or something's up, and it's just not right, but it is. And we want to know the name of what that is, that little pouch, if you will, in the neck of the chicken. That's what we're looking for. 347-637-3237 if you know the answer. 347-637-3237. If you didn't know it in the chat room, now you know, thanks to Chickweed. So there you go. Thanks, Chickweed. Everybody's thanking you because if they didn't know, they now know. But call in 347-637-3237, and we're going to take caller number. And I'm going to do this randomly. Caller number 11. Caller number 11 from random.org. It says, based on about the average number of callers we have and the numbers I put in, caller number 11, 347-637-3237. And away we go. Here we go. All righty. Caller number 11, you're calling in from area code 207. You're live on the air with Andy and Pat. State your name and where you're calling from, please.
Hi, my name is Laura.
Hey, Laura, you're live on the air, and you are caller number 11. If you can let us know what your answer is for the question, what is that kind of bulge in the neck of the chicken that you often see after they eat?
I believe it's called a crop.
That is right. It is a crop. That's perfectly correct. That's the answer we were looking for. Congratulations. Where are you calling from?
I'm in Lisbon, Maine.
Up in Maine. Perfect. All righty. I'm going to go ahead here and put you on mute because we're running out of time. If you'll send me an email with your name, shipping address, and phone number, chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. That's chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. I need your name, your shipping address, and phone number. I'll get that over to our friend Scott at eggcartons.com, and you have won an awesome hen bag from eggcartons.com. Congratulations. That was the answer we were looking for. And on behalf of my wonderful co-host, Pat Foreman, we'll see you tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hope you enjoyed the show. Thanks to Steve Pope, the Heritage Chef, and may the flock be with you all. See you tomorrow, everybody.